It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. All right. You'll forgive me if this feels like Moran Monday to me. I do realize that it is Titanic Tuesday, but I'm off by a day because I was off yesterday. Thank you for your forbearance in the midst of what can only be described as a very chaotic time. We had Agnes and me and the family. We had a little bit of time with family who came up north to the hills here and spent a lovely time eating boiled shrimp and ribs. I generally defer to no one on my ribs, but my brother-in-law, absolutely, abso-damn-lutely. So it was a nice time with family and... Well, everything else that's serving to provide the chaos, well, that's still in place and, you know, looking for, I guess, what you would call solutions. Okay? Yeah. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be during the live portion of the program, like now. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room during the time when this program is live, you know, 6 to 9 p.m. Monday through Friday, Eastern Daylight Time, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, Monday through Friday. And, well, hop on in. If you do, you'll be met by the likes of Dowhead and Jimmy and Silent R. Lamar and Otto and Squeaky, others wandering by later on, and capably moderated by pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Steve from Georgia Stan. Also at HeadOn.live, you'll find the contribute tab, which is how we keep this little operation going month after month and year after year. The fundraising goal right now stands at $400. That's for yesterday and today. In a month which is can only be described as, well, what's heading my way is our way here is brutal. Just brutal. I've had a couple of generous, kind offers of help. Since I'm going to have to be out, you know, you go car shopping and you think, you'd like to have the luxury of some time. I don't think that's going to be the case here, but I want to thank, tremendous thanks, to one particular anonymous individual who did not want their name, you know, out there, for jumping in and saying, well, you're going to have help and here's some of it. So thank you. And along the way said it would be great if other people jumped in as well. Thank you. Thank you again so very, very much. That's outside of the usual fundraising goals. This program begins with gratitude, always does. And so thanks go out to our buddy Paul. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Kitty in Boston. Thank you to Chris in Germany. Thank you to Bob in North Carolina. Thank you to Kim in New Jersey. Thank you to Don in West Tennistan. Thank you to Alex. Thank you to Janice and James in Illinois. Thank you to Roberto. Thank you to Kevin in Colorado Springs. Thank you to Kenda out in Missouri. Thank you. Thank you to Thomas. Thank you to Paul, different Paul. Thank you to Nagla. And thank you to Catherine, to John, to Jean and Ann across the pond. Thank you. Thank you to Janice, and thank you to Stephen out in California. Another member of the fraternity of Steve. Thank you one and all so very, very much for being subscribers and knocking out about a quarter of what we have to do every month to keep things going. Program note, this program will be an hour short this evening because starting at 9 p.m. I'll be putting the flint to the steel to make the sparks to create the Malloy campfire, and we will gather around with me substituting this evening at 9 p.m. Eastern time. So if you want to join in on that part of the conversation, well, by all means, feel free so to do, and you'll be able to listen in at Progressive Voices, particularly Progressive Voices on the TuneIn app. Okay. Brother Deacon Asa tells me that we are hot on both streams, White Rose Society and HeadOn.live. Yay, stuff's working. It's one of those naked radio evenings here at the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. We've got a balmy 86 degrees in here with the air conditioner running hell-bent for leather. I mean, it's just, you know, it's a south-facing studio with a lot of glass in it. And it, well, in the summer when it's warm, it's hot. And in winter when it's cold, it's freezing. Best of all possible worlds. Yes. Thank you. Thank you to Otto Deschott in the chat room for getting us started this evening. Means we're down to 380. Thank you. And Silent R. Lamar says, it's a good day off. You miss nothing. Trump's still president. Oh, well, nothing's perfect. And, of course, well, when last we spoke, well, that was Friday. And then the weekend happened. And what a brutal, bloody weekend it was. Dayton. And before that, El Paso. With just barely a week between that and Gilroy. And, hey, we had a kind of a momentous moment. I guess, momentous occurrence. Dr. Professor Eddie Glaud from Princeton University. I had a number of people let me know about this. Well, he went to talking about what's going on in America, and lo and behold, he used the term Cold Civil War. Well, the Cold Civil War is a term that I coined literally years ago and have used intermittently since, and I guess it just filtered through the universe or whatever the case, and or maybe it's just some sort of spontaneous coincidence, but, well, further proof that if you want to be so far out in front of the curve that it feels like you're on straight road, now, the horn is where you come to get the information that'll keep you that way. It's Titanic, Trump-tanic Tuesday. We celebrate, if celebrate is the right word, Titanic manifestations of white wing intellect on this day every week. And holy Moses. By now, you know, there's nothing really to go over. I can't imagine that there is, about El Paso and Dayton. I presume, and I have to, in putting this program together, I have to make certain assumptions that you've heard and read everything that I've heard and read in the days, Woke up, fell asleep Saturday night grieving for the people of El Paso. Woke up at 5:28 a.m. Sunday and just picked up my phone, and it said there's been a shooting in Dayton, Ohio. And I thought, wait, did somebody screw up the no, less than 24 hours, 29 people dead. I think it's actually 31 people dead now. And after so many of these, you sort of begin to reach a kind of a stunned silence. But this much is true. These horrors, these senseless, needless, solvable, preventable horrors, without a doubt, bring out the absolute epitome of white wing stupidity. Jesus, jumping Christ. We can start with the fact that, as Silent R. Lamar named him, the presidents, other people referring to him as Fat Hitler, is so insincerely, he's so insincere in his disaffectation from these nightmares that the American people are going through day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. There have been more mass shootings in the United States this year than there have been days in this year. And that speaks volumes. But yeah, there's no sincerity in Nitwit Nero. And so even with a teleprompter in front of him, and that's important, even with a teleprompter in front of him, he couldn't be bothered to pay enough attention to even know where the hell the shooting took place. Really. What do I mean? Well, here's what I mean.
Destructive, partisanship aside, so destructive.
The partisanship is what's destructive? Time out. The partisanship is what's destructive? I thought it was the white guys with the guns, the white young males with the guns that were so destructive, but I guess I'm just some sort of sissy liberal that way.
Now is the time to set destructive partisanship aside, so destructive, and find the courage to answer hatred with unity, devotion, and love.
Okay, we're sniffling again. Sounds like you didn't get the full dose of the Adderall this time.
Future is in our control. America will rise to the challenge. We will always have, and we always will, win. The choice is ours, and ours alone.
Win? We always have, and we always will. We always will, and we win. Win. What's the contest when the payment for admission is 31 human lives, and the maiming of a score or more of others? Jesus. And you can tell he was struggling just to read the teleprompter.
It is not up to mentally ill monsters. It is up to us. If we are able to pass great legislation.
The adjectives, great legislation. Well, how about any legislation? Because there's two bills that are still sitting on Moscow Mitch's desk. Of course, now they're probably kind of hard to read since they're soaked in innocent blood. Blood and dust, really. They've been gathering dust since Nancy Pelosi's House majority sent them to Moscow Mitch's desk. They were gathering dust, and then, you know, a few buckets of innocent American blood got dumped on them. Great legislation. At one point, he said he would be willing to consider signing into law a bill passed by Congress for background checks as long as he got something that he could use to advance his hateful agenda against people coming to this country from other countries where they were trying to not get shot, murdered. But we're not done.
After all of these years, we will ensure that those who were attacked will not have died in vain. May God bless the memory of those who perished in Toledo. May God...
Toledo? El Paso? Dayton? And now Toledo? Oh, wait. No. This is his Spinal Tap, "Hello, Cleveland" moment, you know, when they're in Detroit.
Protect them. May God protect all of those from Texas to Ohio. May God bless the victims and their families. May God bless America. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah. What's that?
If we are able to pass great legislation, after all of these years, we will ensure that those who were attacked will not have died in vain. May God bless the memory of those who perished in Toledo. May God protect them.
Jesus God. Toledo. I later saw a photograph of him standing there at the microphone, and they use something that looks like at least a 42-inch monitor with huge print for his teleprompter. And it's right there, and it says Dayton. And he says Toledo. Now, I'm not a mental health professional. I just have some experience dealing with it as a member of a family that has it in it. Mental illness. But when you have the word Dayton in front of you, and you can't even read D-A-T-O-N and instead insert Toledo. What was he? Was he watching a MASH rerun and it was one of the episodes where Klinger talks about wanting to go back home to Toledo. Did he hear somebody say Holy Toledo? Especially with regard to the shooting, the massacre in Dayton. I have to be careful, or I'll say Toledo now. It took place outside of a joint down in the bar and restaurant district. I guess it's called the Oregon District. But it took place in front of a joint called Ned Pepper's, where people were waiting to get in. You might recall that in the movie True Grit, and I'm sure this is where the joint got its name, you might recall that in the movie True Grit, the murderer Chaney, really, Tom Chaney, probably ancestors of Dick in a Bad Wig, the House member from Wyoming, lights out for the territories and hooks up with Lucky Ned Pepper's gang in the 1968 film played by Robert Duvall. Lucky Ned Pepper, who at the end of his gunfight, you know, the climactic fill your hands, you son of a bitch scene, Ned Pepper looks at Rooster Cogburn and says, "I'm all shot to pieces." Just weird. And kind of odd to have a brain that works the way mine does sometimes. Yes, yes, Billable Rick sends my deepest sympathies to the victims of the Toledo and Bowling Green massacres. And see, these things are not of any consequence to Nitwit Nero and his gang of toadies, lick spittles, and sycophants. And no. Billable Rick says, given our dear leader's recent teleprompter speech about the mass shootings last weekend, I'd like to extend my sympathies to the victims of the Toledo massacre. I assume that those victims will be remembered in the same way as those slain in the Bowling Green massacre that wasn't a few years back, created by Kellyanne Conway on January 29th, 2017. Are we ever going to be rid of this loathsome president who has created a hateful environment toward the other, which directly resulted in the mass killings of many Hispanic people in El Paso? Oh, and for all the armed incels out there, of which the shooter in Dayton was apparently a member, I have some advice. Go on a friggin' online dating site and try to get lucky there. No damn bullets to alleviate your sexual frustrations. Well, but don't worry, the Dayton murderer is now being referred to as an obvious leftist. And suddenly, the Republicans are a little bit nervous. Of course, he posted some, because of things he said on social media, he posted some sort of left-ish-y millennial-type carping. But the bottom line is he was a lawful gun owner, left, right, center, indifferent, upside down, backwards, and sideways. He was a lawful gun owner. That's spelled capital L, paren, A, capital A, paren, W-F-U-L. Or paren, capital L, paren, capital A-W-F-U-L. Lawful. And the problem with all these lawful gun owners, as I've said a million times before, is that we can't know whether they're a lawful gun owner or an awful gun owner until after they have pulled the trigger. Yeah. Darlene in Connecticut says, I see. Partisanship is bad when it's Democratic partisanship. Partisanship is bad when it's pushing back against the NRA. Partisanship is bad when it's for national gun control legislation. Bipartisanship only works if Republicans get 100% of everything they want. I-O-K, I-Y-A-R. It's okay if you're a Republican. Right. The only, no, it ain't, it, see, that's not, We all know that's not how it's supposed to work. Bipartisanship means both sides give up a little of what they want to reach something achievable in the middle. It has been historically the way that the legislative bodies have worked in this country. But since 1981, and particularly with the rise of the Contract on America promulgated by Professor Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich, amateur paleontologist, bipartisanship only happens when Democrats give up everything and Republicans get everything. Ah, there's another possibility for the Toledo reference. That's a good call. Dave in South Carolina, says, Nitwit Nero heard Kenny Rogers sing Lucille on a TV show long ago and was thinking about a bar in Toledo. You might just check out the... Yes, absolutely. Silent R. Lamar says, just saying. Oh, my God, did he say mentally ill? That's him. Oh, my bad. He's mentally challenged, since I put it that way. We can work with him. Wait, look over there. It's a squirrel. Oh, shit, the squirrel has an AK-47. Run for your lives. He has a freedom protector. Meth-fueled attack squirrels, Silent R. Meth-fueled attack squirrels. From Moulton, Alabama. Mm-hmm. Don't forget, Houston and Michigan. Go to Joe 30330, mourned Houston and Michigan. Thank you, Flavio. Subject line, disgusted. Steve, another member of the Fraternity of Steves in Vermont, writes, to the fascist base, their non-existent past is idolized, fetishized into some weird master-slave plantation mythology. It's a meme of white supremacy that can only be enforced on others by coercion, violence, and apartheid. Words have power. Fascist, oligarch, authoritarian, racist are good words to use when describing Trumpism. Yeah, they are. Although I saw some right-wing, white-wing idiot referring to left-wing fascism today. Kind of made my eyeballs ache. And my liver quiver. Scott in San Diego, subject line, incel shooters. Maybe the gun dealers of America should start giving away a fleshlight with each gun purchase. Oh, well, I don't know. They're already humping them. They're already humping the guns themselves, Scott. I don't know if we could draw their attention away. Todd asks, is he getting high on the job again? He's just too maladjusted for prescription eyewear. And his face looks all, I mean, it looks all puffy and fat and like he's been on a binge. I don't know what they're doing to try to keep him from floating off out into the stratosphere. I would not want to be the medical professional whose job is to keep Donald Trump something vaguely in the same area code as sane, because he's not doing a very good job. Then again, he has an almost impossible task. But like I said, it'll bring out... it brings out the pigs and the racists and the stupids. Anything having to do with guns, almost like nothing else. Y'all know I'm a big Jason Isbell fan. And in addition to being a master craftsman of music, songs, you know, Grammy winner, that kind of thing, a lyricist of par excellence, a storyteller in song. He also has one of the best Twitter accounts going. Smart, funny, and can peel a right-wing asshole like a grape ready to be handed to Pharaoh being fanned with ostrich plume fans. He got into it with that little neo-maxi Zoom dweeby Ben Shapiro. I think the first human being to be lifetime banned from trading in stocks before the age of 20. And made the remark, observation, Jason Isbell did. If you're on here arguing the definition of assault weapon today, you're part of the problem. You know what an assault weapon is, and you know you don't need one. Well, some dude calling himself on Twitter William McNabb responded because, like I said, any discussion of trying to step back from the brink of the apocalypse makes them just barking crazy, but in the midst of the tragedies, also pretty damn funny. Said, legit question for rural Americans. How do I kill the 30 to 50 feral hogs that run into my yard within 3 to 5 minutes while my small kids play? And to be fair, I live in West Virginia. And we do have we've got a wild boar hunting season because there's something about the porcine species that if they get loose in the woods, they go back to being wild animals real damn fast. You might even say they're good at it. But again, I'm in West Virginia. Not, you don't get a hell of a lot more rural than me. And, you know, deer season rolls around. We used to have this beautiful yellow Labrador retriever. Her name was Miranda. She was the most wonderful dog I've ever known. We got her shortly before Margie was born. She would, and this is no joke, she would walk sideways behind Agnes. I'm getting this backwards. She would herd Agnes to keep her away from the stairs. And after Margie was born and starting to walk, she would walk sideways behind Margie. And when Margie began to tipple-topple backwards to land on her little padded butt, Miranda would flop on the ground to let her land on her. Wonderful, sweet, sweet dog. But deer season would come around, and we'd have to buy, and they sell them here, blaze orange doggy vests to keep the gun crazies from who will often pull the trigger at anything that moves in or around the woods, and we lived out in the country a long way at the time. We'd put a blaze orange doggy vest on Miranda just to keep the lawful gun owners who were hunting and keeping the tradition of American hunting sports and shooting sports alive from blowing away our faithful family member of the four-legged variety. So I get, yeah, one year I put out a salt block, an apple flavored salt block in the front yard. We had this big, broad, flat front yard, and I set it out there where the babies could look out the window. And the deer would come to that salt block to get a lick. And the babies enjoyed watching the deer. And there could be 10, 15, 20 deer in the front yard some mornings. A herd. Sure. But no, no, 30 to 50 feral hogs that run into this dude's yards within 3 to 5 minutes. While my small kids play, he added. And on the one hand, you want to think, you know, this guy can't be serious. This has got to be some sort of subversive attempt at humor. But then you realize that you're dealing with the gun goobers of America, and he's probably deadly in earnest. And, of course, Jason Isbell grew up in the same corner of northwest Alabama I did, or the same general area, and it's not like guns are unheard of there. Guns are very heard of there. So it's not he handled them growing up. Everybody does to one degree or another, for the most part. But anyway, this William McNabb dude says, legit question for rural Americans. How do I kill the 30 to 50 feral hogs that run into my yard within 3 to 5 minutes while my small kids play? This is when someone steps in whose handle is Red Dave. Let's see. I think we're going to need some background music for this. We'll be there in a second. Yeah, this is the one. I think this will be perfect. No, we're not using the Shelby Foot Ashokan Farewell. No, this is I think this is more appropriate. I take a long drag from my cigarette as I stare out of my foxhole, hollow-eyed at the tree line. The distant sounds of oinking coming nearer and nearer as the sun sets. The cold steel of my AR-15 is the only thing that stands between those hogs and my kids behind me. A smell of pig shit wafts on the breeze as I load the 5.56mm into my magazines. Claymores line forward positions ready for those pink bastards to come at me. As the sun goes down, the oinking comes closer, trees rustling in the summer heat. A flare goes up, and my blood runs cold. Thirty to 50 screaming Viet hogs rush my position, blowing those damn whistles and making an ungodly racket. I unload magazine and magazine as little Susie mans the Ma Deuce. Hot casings fill our foxholes as little Johnny calls in fast movers to nape the tree line. Still, they don't stop. The pigs just keep on coming as I'm forced to use my bayonet on the slippery hams. Little Susie's hit and dragged off as Johnny calls a broken arrow. Huey's rain rocket fire all around us as A4s drop 500-pound bombs. I don't know how long we fought. But it seemed like an eternity. As the sun rose and exposed the dead and dying bodies of dozens of feral hogs, I gathered my family and readied for another night of hail. My gun and me, the only thing standing in the way of those twisty-tailed beasts. Because pest control. Pest control never changes. Like I said, Jesus. But you got to understand, that's the mentality. I mean, I thought that was a hilarious little bit, but that's the mentality of way too many millions of people in this country. I mean, I read that thing. Where the fuck do you live? 30 to 50 feral hogs in the yard where my children play. I mean, goddamn, Texas? And then seeing the dude's response, Jason Isbell responded and said, if you have 30 to 50 feral hogs in your yard, you have problems a gun will not solve. And thank you. Wait a minute. That's the evening's first obligatory cowbell for the evening's first obligatory Star Trek reference, this courtesy of Michael in Madison.
Legit question for the sons of Moch. How do I kill the 30 to 50 feral targs that run into my yard? Ptah!
I added the ptah.
Lach!
And I wish I could sing better, because Michael went on to write a parody of 99 Luftballons, the 80s hit from Nena, repurposed as 30 to 50 feral hogs. You can find it over on his Facebook page if you're friends with him. And Flavio says, you better mention Biden's gaffe, too. Well, that's like, mentioning Biden's gaffe is like mentioning that Helen Keller was visually challenged. A gaffe from Joe Biden, bless his heart, is just another day that ends in Y. Ron and Raleigh with a note. I know. I'll bet that's Apocalypse Hog. Of course it was. Of course it was. There we go. Yep. Save the world from gun-happy bozos, not the clown. Silent R. Lamar says, I did the same with the deer on my Texas land. They like me, I like them, so I invented a bright color vest for the deer family on my land. Yeah, but you wouldn't want to do that with the deer because it just calls attention to them. What Flavio was referring to? Biden, 76, who previously served as vice president under former President Barack Obama, is currently leading in the Democratic presidential primary polls. Sunday evening, while addressing the people attending a fundraiser in California, he referred to the mass shootings as, quote, the tragic events in Houston today and also in Michigan the day before. Although the politician later corrected his mistake, he seemed to be confusing Houston, which is also in Texas, with El Paso, and mixing up Ohio with its fellow Midwestern state, Michigan. Yeah, what is it, about 10 hours from Houston to El Paso? Big state, Texas. Big state. And the hits just kept on coming. Brother Deacon Asa made sure that I saw this one, that it could rocket to the near the top of the stack. Now let's remember, please, that El Paso
down in the West Texas town of El Paso, I fell in love with a Mexican girl. Yeah. Felina. Her name was Felina. Apparently, according to Marty Robbins, not a very nice girl. But El Paso and Juarez sit astride the border. And people from El Paso have family in Juarez, and people in Juarez have family in El Paso, and thus has it ever been. Oh, wait a minute. Let's go back to the feral hogs for a minute. Brother Deacon Asa, question for the brain-dead troglodyte father, William McNabb. If 50 feral hogs are running into your yard while your small kids are running around playing in said yard, how do you keep from accidentally shooting the kids while aiming for the 50 hogs, you dumb some bitch? And look, if you can routinely expect 30 to 50 feral hogs in your yard, you know what stops a feral hog real good? Oh my God, the maggots will seize on this one. A fence. And I don't know who William McNabb's wife is or if he has one, but when we lived out in the country, I kind of live in the country now. I mean, I'm 2 miles from a little dead coal town, but we lived seriously in the country. You know, like 30, it was an hour round trip when, say, at midnight, Agnes would say, you know, you forgot to buy diapers at the store today. Well, that was at least an hour round trip at midnight, because you don't want to just, you can't, when you got little ones, you can't just make do till the morning in the diaper department. No. So we were out in the country. We woke up one morning, and I'll obviously never forget it, because I heard Agnes calling from the front of the house. I think I was in the kitchen or in my office or something. And I just, there's a tone of voice. And she said, honey, come here. And so I got up and probably had my coffee cup in my hand and walked to the front door there, the old farmhouse, where she was standing. And she just turned full around to face me with her back to the door, and so I couldn't really see. And she said, honey, why are there a herd of cattle in our front yard? And there's really no answer to that if you're not a cattle farmer. I don't know, but if you hum a few bars, I'll try. Didn't seem to be the appropriate response. And I sort of slipped past her, and I stood there, and the son of a gun, there was a herd of cattle in our yard. And as it turned out, those cattle had traveled, as the crow flies, 2 or 3 miles, maybe more, to get into our yard. And as it turned out, they happened to belong to the father of a local murderer. This is just how it's been. Sometimes you wake up and there's a bunch of deer in the yard. Other mornings it's cattle. I guess we just didn't stay long enough for the feral hogs. Had that been the case, however, yes, we had firearms at that time, I can well imagine that had they appeared in the yard, Agnes would have simply said, honey, bring home the bacon. What do you do if you got 30 to 50 feral hogs in your yard? You build a fucking smokehouse. That's what you do. But dude there apparently thinks that that's a good excuse for him to have a, you know, machine gun. Kind of makes you wonder how people who had 30 to 50 feral, you know what? People with 30 to 50 feral hogs in their yard in the 19th century either moved or built a smokehouse. Yeah. What's that? Steve from Georgistan says, hippies and fools. One of the neighbors just brought us a half bushel of half runner beans and a dozen tomatoes. I suppose there's a cosmic force out there looking out for hippies and fools. Well, bless their hearts. Quickly, Steve, go ye to the nearest Kroger and get yourself a hunk of hog jowl and get a real sharp knife and cut that layer of skin off and leave some fat to it and string them beans and get them to simmering and drop that hog jowl skin in there and woo, good times. Yes, indeed. Ah, okay. Point taken. Steve in New York says, we are forgetting a prime characteristic of a trumpanzee. Mr. 30 to 50 feral hogs is lying. That's true. But I felt no need to own an AR-15 or an AK-47. Just because, you know, I don't think my neighbor would have taken kindly to me treating them like slow elk and putting them in my freezer, those cattle. And the babies wanted to see the deer go on being deer. Yeah. A moment of Zen wisdom from Scott in San Diego. Subject line, locationally challenged. If you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. It's Jill Stein's world, Bob. We're all just living in it. That's a well-earned cowbell, no doubt about it. From Ron in Raleigh, I knew this had to happen. Moving, keep those cattle moving, rawhide. Head them up, move them out, head them up. Head them up, rawhide. Yeah. Hey, what the hell's going on here? Don't make me sing. Meanwhile, a note from Kyle in Kentucky Stan. Sean Hannity called for an armed volunteer militia, i.e. Hitler's brown shirts, to, quote, secure the perimeter of schools to stop school shootings, and also called for the same at public venues. How far from that to the fascist police state that could never happen here? Holy shit. We're so fucked if we don't stop this fucking shit right now. And Albert in Rhode Island with an observation. I think I figured out what Trump's mental problem is. He suffers from a phobia, phronemophobia. It's defined as a morbid fear of thinking. Phronemophobia, phronemophobia. And meanwhile, back to the feral hogs with Kyle. You're onto something with that fence idea. If we can build a fence to keep out hogs, why can't we just build a damn fence to keep out these animals that keep attacking our border? See how easy this is? And sarcasm font, no, not really. Stephen Miller and the orange asshole are going to use this logic to make us all pay for that fucking wall, because his base will think that's the most logical thing he's ever said. Yes, and by the way, speaking of 10 hours from somewhere to somewhere, it's about 8 to 10 hours from Dallas to El Paso. The monster who massacred at the Walmart in El Paso drove that distance, probably with nitwit Nero's idiot voice in his head all the way. You know it. Jill Stein, Stephen, New York, says, heading due north to Cleveland from Cincinnati. But anyway, to get back to the story Brother Deacon Asa alerted me to. Steve Bannon, who looks like hot, who looks like he smells like hot dogs, well, he was discussing the slaughter in El Paso, and he said, "Let's talk about this horrible situation in El Paso the other day. You know, it was at a Walmart at 10:30 in the morning. That's part of the Trump economic miracle. What you had is El Paso, which is, I think, 80% Hispanic. You had citizens over there from Mexico. They're there because the economy's booming." Yeah, the slaughter of 22 people is part of the Trump economic miracle. Hoo-wee. Oh, apologies coming in from Stephen, New York. I fucked that up. Jill Stein heading due south to Cleveland from Cincinnati. Steve adds, it was funny in my brain. He was probably laughing so hard that he got his directions. Yeah, right. Yeah. Flavio asks, how's about remedial geography classes for Congress critters and aspirants of public office? I'm sure a fund could be set up. Well, you know, you can lead a feral hog to water, but you can't make him think. No, what was that door? Is that an old Dorothy Parker line? Use horticulture in a sentence. You can lead a horticulture, but you can't make her think. Jesus. Oh, and then there's Princess White Supremacy Ivanka. It was 12:13 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time today when, with the blood still drying from El Paso and Dayton and possibly Toledo, she, the racist princess, said,
as we grieve over the evil mass shootings in El Paso and Dayton, let us not overlook that Chicago experienced its deadliest weekend of the year. With 7 dead and 52 wounded near a playground in the Windy City and little national outrage or media coverage, we mustn't become numb to the violence faced by inner city communities every day.
See, when I do Ivanka's voice, I try to make it sort of like Nitwit Nero's, only with less... and a little higher higher pitch, because she too has that, and you know, it apparently it's a Trump family thing. She has that puckered little cat's ass mouth too, and I can imagine her speaking very similarly to her filthy father. Well, do let's little princess white supremacy. Let's talk about Chicago. Let's talk about Chicago that can't get a handle on its gun problem because of places like Waukegan and downstate gun stores in Illinois and stores across the line in Wisconsin, where if you're tall enough to get the money onto the counter, you can buy a fucking gun. Any old kind of gun. AR-15s from wall to wall in some places. And you can put it in your car and take it back to Chicago. Or pistols, you know. We've got, you know, we've got some real badass hunters here in West Virginia and some in Eastern Kentucky, too, I imagine. Those dudes will hunt feral hogs with a .357 Magnum with a scope on it. Imagine that. Because it feels like you're really doing something when you've done that. Yeah, Chicago. She went there. She went there. Because we all know now that in white wing world, in maggot land, that Chicago is a placeholder for the word Negroes. As is the word inner city. See also urban. CF, black on black crime. Wonder how many gun violence deaths there were in New York City this week. Doesn't quite have the same geographic problem that Chicago does. Oh, well. I know. It's just... Well... it's just another happy day in Gunmerica. Although I did see where one person said that we can't do anything about our gun disease because it would represent making an absolute constitutional right, which the Second Amendment isn't, into a partial right. I found that interesting because, well, that means that I guess the white wing will be shutting down the tax-exempt Dodge known as the anti-abortion industry any day now. I mean, we can't have partial abrogation of a constitutional right, right? So... absolute right to of a woman to an abortion from one day after she knows she's pregnant up to the very day she delivers. Because a partial abrogation of a constitutional right is, well, that's constitutionally repulsive. Oh, wait, they're women. Got it. Never mind. Pardon me. I regret the error. And then, well, oddly enough, there are other stories out there. Because it's Titanic Tuesday. And that means that we have an outpouring of stupidity. Maybe too much to get to in the hour remaining in the program this evening. And by the way, I guess between Gilroy and Dayton, we can finally put the National Ruble Association's argument about a good guy with a gun stopping a bad guy with a gun. In Dayton in particular, there were 6 good guys with guns, and they were powerless against a high-capacity magazine and an AR-15. Awful glad that Eddie Glaude decided to use Cold Civil War. You're welcome, sir. You're welcome. If you haven't caught this, the murderer in Dayton got in trouble when he was in high school. Well, he put out a kill list for boys that he didn't like, classmates. He didn't put it out. He created a kill list for boys that he didn't like. And for the girls, he crafted a rape list. Young white males sitting around thinking about rape. And he got caught and got in trouble for it. He performed in a band called Menstrual Munchies. It is a genre of which I had never heard before called porno grind or gore grind metal. They sang such catchy ditties as "Cunt Stuffed with Medical Waste, Sexual Abuse of a Teenage Corpse," and their other big one, "Preteen Daughter Pussy Slaughter." Even put out an album. The album art had, among other things, an image of a woman's bloody and headless body chained to a bed, and an illustration of a woman eating feces. I think with things like that, you can make the argument that that guy had no business getting anywhere near the ownership of a firearm. But it would make Wayne LaPierre cry if young potential mass murderers couldn't get their guns. What's that, Todd? Todd in South Carolina says, okay, stop making shit up. Sorry, I wish I was. I'm not. Mother Jones Magazine did an analysis of these mass murderers. They looked at 22 mass shootings since 2011. And in that group, that sample group, 32% of the mass murderers had a history of stalking and harassment of women. Half of them specifically targeted women. 86% of them had a history of domestic abuse. And out of those 22, two of them were straight up incels. And yet, 8chan still survives on the determined largesse of a, I'm not kidding, pig farmer in the Philippines. Yeah, a 50-something U.S. Army vet who expatriated himself, moved to the Philippines, and does online marketing and raises pigs and is the driving funding force behind 8chan, where, for instance, the shooter in Gilroy posted his racist screed, and where the murderer in El Paso also is thought to have had some interactions. The latest, according to David in South Carolina, is that the murderer in El Paso was motivated not by Donald Trump, but by Democrats in the debate offering to provide free health care to illegal immigrants. So does that mean that stupidity is a factor in the creation of these mass murdering little monsters? But it really wouldn't be a full-on Titanic Tuesday, Trump-tanic Tuesday, if we didn't have some commentary from arguably the stupidest man in the Congress of the United States. And I realize that that is a tough competition. Neck and neck. Turkey neck and turkey neck. But in this instance, I mean, representing Louie Gohmert of the 1st District of Texas, who was interviewed by some local television news, intrepid television news people. And now back to Jim in the Weather Center. Right. Oh, by the way, Jack, who is a musician himself, Jack in Shreveport, says, I'd never heard of that music genre either. And they complained when Hillary thought people like that should be put in a basket labeled deplorable. I know. They're still seething about that, I suppose. And by the way, the Trump campaign still owes El Paso more than $500,000 on the eve of Nitwit Nero's return visit. Beto O'Rourke standing up and, well, he's looked pretty good the last few days. And saying, don't come here. The people of El Paso don't want you here. But he's still going there tomorrow. And the last time he was there, he saddled the city with $500,000 in debt. But that's what Trumps do. Remember Mike Pencilneck Geek went out to, what was it, Colorado, Aspen, Vail, and left them with $500,000 or so in security debt? Thanks, Flavio, for reminding us of that. But no, Louis Asparagus Gohmert says we can't do anything, nothing at all, about the slaughter in El Paso and Dayton. And he's particularly aggrieved by the decision to charge the El Paso murderer, the common criminal, as a domestic terrorist. Oh, this has got his asparagus all up in arms. Mm-hmm. All right, damn it. Let's see if we can get this thing to roll. Because I prefer for Louis Gohmert to say his own stupid things. I don't even like to let his stupid words enter my eyeballs. I'm afraid it might infect my brains. Working.
Welcome back, everyone. As we continue our coverage about last weekend's mass shootings, our Congressman Louie Gohmert joins us in our studio with his insight.
Congressman, welcome back.
Thank you.
Oh, wait, these two. Our Congressman. I'm surprised she's willing to admit that on a live broadcast with human beings watching. But then again, she's a member of the for-profit media, and, well, as long as the check clears, right?
Neil, always good to be with you.
All right. First of all, we'll talk about what happened this past weekend. Many people now are champing. That's the word, champing at the bit right now. Everyone's an expert I've talked to. Everyone says they know what to do. I think people still need to calm down a little bit. Let's not knee-jerk at all, but what do you think must be done?
Well, think about what Thomas Jefferson wrote after he read the Constitution. He said, if I could change one thing, it would be a requirement that you must wait a year before you can vote on a bill after it's filed.
I wonder if he actually did that. It's not worth fact-checking Louis Asparagus Gohmert, because Louis Asparagus Gohmert is a moron.
So you don't make knee-jerk reactions that you end up regretting. But this is tragic. I think about the politicians across the country that are making their stake on jealousy, on covetousness, is in the old Ten Commandments.
Wait, the old Ten Commandments? That implies there are 10 new commandments. I'd like to think maybe one of the new Ten Commandments is thou shalt not shoot up a Walmart full of people going to go back to school shopping. Right? Yeah, I mean, maybe, kind of. The old Ten Commandments down in old El Paso. You know, I probably should have issued not only a hockey puck warning, but a you know, cotton in the ear. This is Odysseus sailing past the sirens territory is what this is. Everybody else got to stop up their ears with beeswax, but Odysseus had himself lashed to the mast so he could hear the siren song, and it near drove him mad. Similarly, listening to the wacky, insane gorbles and burblings of Louis Asparagus Gohmert may actually, it may suck points off of your IQ. So we will go forward from here. Well, okay, maybe I heard it differently. Scott in San Diego heard him say Ovaltine Ten Commandments. Blucher. Von Milk? Ovaltine? Maybe it was the Ovaltine Ten Commandments. I'm not going back to find out, Scott. It's just too potentially harmful to my brains.
Else had, you didn't make it, you didn't, it belongs to all of us, and they've kindled so much jealousy, and we see that in both the...
Jealousy? Jealousy? What? Are Louis Asparagus Gohmert's constituents jealous that the shooting didn't happen in the 1st District of Texas and instead happened in El Paso and Dayton and Gilroy? Jealousy? God, they're going to have to send somebody after this guy with a really big butterfly net.
The left-wing shooter in Ohio, and actually the guy in El Paso, he was into all the environmental issues and...
Oh, wait, what? Oh. He was into all the environmental issues. Yeah, because that's, you know, that's what us environmental types do when we get good and pissed off as we go shoot up a Walmart by the Mexican border full of people back to school shopping. Because, you know, that'll show those frackers. God damn, this man is just unutterably dumb. And yeah, the guy in Dayton was a leftist. Yeah, look it up. But you know what? I'm not even that concerned about denying that the guy that may have had some left-leaning political motives. Or not motives, but beliefs. No. He's young and white and male. And a lot of young people would like to have Medicare for all, universal health care of some kind, would like to be able to go to college without winding up in $1 million in debt to just for a degree from
Busted Knuckle State Polytechnic and, right. But that's what that's the kind of data they're using to cite this the guy in Dayton who had a rape list and a kill list, by the way, in high school, and still nobody did anything to keep him from being able to buy a gun, because sacred Second Amendment. I'm not concerned. I mean, when they post right-wing manifestos, it is an indication of a right-wing mindset. But it's not a challenge to say no one, left or right, and of course, what left, should shoot up a bar or a Walmart. I don't have a problem saying that. I doubt any member of the Horn Family Community Congregation does either. But apparently it's a too heavy lift for the Republicans to admit that they have a Nazi problem. They have a Klan problem. They have a white supremacist problem. Not borne out solely by the shootings, but by the election results. Ron Monkey Up DeSantis is governor of Florida, thanks in part to a series of robocalls from a Nazi outfit in Idaho. Brian Kemp is governor of Georgia, in part thanks to that same Nazi outfit robocalling in Georgia. Those are just facts. And Antifa is not the same thing as the Klan by a long shot, or of the Nazis. Antifa tends to be, Antifa tends to be reactive and not proactive. They respond to things that white wingers do. They actually have an operating theory, and that is that had people responded more forcefully to Adolf Hitler, the Nazis never could have gotten off the ground. Back to Louis.
Upset that corporations were taking too much out of the earth. So you got a mixed bag in El Paso. But the bottom line is, John Adams was so right. This Constitution, he said, was intended for a moral and religious people. It's totally inadequate to govern any other. And that's where we are. If we're not going to get back to teaching against jealousy and to teach true, absolute right and wrong, then we're going to have to give up Second Amendment, First Amendment rights, Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment rights, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to give up any of the rights. I think we need to get back to teaching true right and wrong everywhere.
Well, you know, of course, Louis would gladly give up every woman in America's right to choose, but that's different because precious little fetuses.
So that the children know.
Yeah, more of a societal concern rather than a governmental concern, it seems like. But Congressman Gohmert, Wall Street Journal just published this wonderful report displaying all of the common denominators between all of these mass shooters. 70% of them had stressors and warnings of behavioral issues, which just begs the question, what do we do about mental health in our country?
Well, it is a huge issue, and the president was right about that. This is Wall Street Journal and others.
Okay, let's go down that road, shall we? Let's go down the we need to do something about mental health in this country road. Because as we discussed on Friday, that's an issue that is near to this little family. So let's say we take a long look at the mental health system in this country. We will find it to be broken and inadequate like the rest of the healthcare system in this country. because in most instances, not all but most, it is driven by a corporate and capitalist profit motive. Some things capitalism can be good at. Some things it's not. This is one of the nots. Because if you're trying to make a buck on people who have mental illness, well, you're just kind of doing something, I don't know, evil. Trying to make a profit on the agony, illness, misery, and death of your fellow Americans is not a nice thing. But let's say we make laws, some kind, somehow, not that Louis Asparagus Gohmert would ever vote for any of them, but let's make some laws that say that, if you're mentally ill, you don't need to get access to a firearm. Not even for self-defense, because, you might hurt yourself or someone you love. Can't buy a gun. No, the NRA, the National Ruble Association, would be screaming. And in fact, they have screamed exactly that. You can't stop the mentally ill from buying a gun. They have Second Amendment rights just like the rest of us. So probably the single most insincere argument relating to this whole nightmare scenario is mental health. Because even if we come down to understanding that people who are so mentally ill that they let's blame domestic violence on mental illness. Let's go ahead, just for the sake of this hypothetical, let's do that. You only commit domestic violence because you're mentally ill. You only become a racist because you're mentally ill. You only become a right-wing white supremacist because you're mentally ill. You only join the Klan because you're mentally ill. You only become a Nazi because you're mentally ill. You only go to Daily Stormer because you're mentally ill. Okay, so let's... And the minute you say let's, there's a Republican waiting to say, no, we can't do that. And you haven't even said what you can't do. You haven't even put a verb after the let's. Let's take away their guns. Can't do that. Let's keep them from buying a gun. Can't do that. Okay, let's shut down 8chan and Daily Storm. First Amendment, motherfucker. So, mental illness is just a placeholder. And the Republican Party earnestly could not give less fucks about the mentally ill population of this country. They've proven that day after day, week after week, year after year, decade after decade. Don't give a shit. They just need something to take up the space that is otherwise occupied by their receipts from the National Ruble Association and other associated gun rights groups. And it really and sincerely is as simple as that. But he wants to talk, as Louis Asparagus wants to talk about mental health.
But if you go back to the 80s, there was an overreaction. The pendulum swung way too far. People started saying, we've got to shut down all of these mental health facilities, get rid of the beds. Let's don't keep...
No, fuckwit. People didn't say that. Republicans said that. The 80s was old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan. And the Reagan administration... helped to shut down mental health facilities across this country. A couple of them I can think of right here in West Virginia. And they did so under the guise of being humane and saying, well, you know, we don't need to have all these people locked up. But as is always the case with Republicans, it was about wanting the money that was going into those facilities to go to somebody that had written some Republican politicians a check or three. The little community near which I used to live, we used to live back when we had the farm with the cattle and the deer, but never any feral hogs in the front yard. 100 years or more ago, as the legend went, they had been offered the choice between having a state university and a state hospital for the mentally ill. And that the far-sighted city fathers and county fathers, and it was fathers back then, white men making bad decisions. They said, "Why, we'll take the state hospital for the mentally ill, because, well, that college thing probably overrated and won't get off the ground. But you're always going to have crazy people." Well, that was one of the state hospitals that got shut down thanks to Reaganism. Glenville State College, meanwhile, continues to be a going concern.
Mm-hmm. People in facilities like that. And we still have a need for many of those beds, and the Texas legislature has been stepping up on that issue. But across the country, we have got to realize that there are times when people do need...
The only thing the Republican legislature in Texas steps up to is the fucking bar. They only meet once every 2 years, so they don't do a whole lot of stepping, really, when you get right down to it.
To be institutionalized. Let's just don't do it across the board as it was happening way too often back in the 70s and early 80s.
Mm-hmm. Are you good with these red flag warnings? We keep hearing about that because...
The red flag warnings, like when you get caught in high school putting out a rape list for girls and a kill list for boys, that would be what you would think of as a red flag. I think we can guess at his answer. But I'm just warning you, because I issued a hockey puck warning, I think, at the beginning of all this. We're not where we're going yet. There's some serious Louis about to bust loose.
Is that going to end up in a court? You were a judge. Will this end up in court?
Yeah, and there are red flag laws that could be very appropriate. You don't want to get into having a hearing every time there's two people at odds and somebody blames the other and they're going to take away their gun rights. So we have to be careful about that. But there are some red flag laws when...
Holy shit. He just... Well, that was... You know what that means. When two people disagree with each other, you can't come and take one of them's guns. That's how he thinks about the topic of domestic violence. It's not a husband or boyfriend beating the living hell out of a woman. It's two people who disagree with each other. Or in the case of a high schooler with a rape list, one person disagreeing with 15, 20, 25, 30 others, or a kill list, you know, the same similar numbers. It's just a disagreement. And you can trust Louis Asparagus Gohmert because he was allowed to actually be a judge in the criminal court system of Texas once upon a time. You know, they used to say, don't mess with Texas. I think the new slogan's Texas is a mess.
People are intentionally not just saying they're going to do something, but take some action. It ought to send up red flags that we could do something about.
Holy shit! It's not just that they're going to say they're going to do something. They take some sort of action. You know, like shooting up a Walmart or a bar or a garlic festival. Then we can do something about it. Or a church. We can take them to Burger King. We can do something about it. But you can't do something about it until they do something first. And so we're back to the conundrum of the lawful gun owner. That L falls away in that tiny space traveled by the trigger to cause the firing pin mechanism to strike the shell. And then your lawful gun owner is suddenly an awful gun owner. And well, now we know. We still haven't gotten to the crazy yet. The real cream of the crop crazy.
Because there have been so many red flags in so many of these cases.
Reckon we ought to have, is Louis sending up any red flags here that maybe he ought not be allowed to be in the Congress of the United States? I'm just saying. Not saying, just saying.
Just nothing was properly done.
Right. And talking about these knee-jerk reactions that you mentioned earlier, you just see a lot of, especially the Democrats running for the presidency, campaigning to talk about comprehensive background checks. But in this case, would comprehensive background checks prevented these tragic shootings from happening?
Well, yeah.
From what we understand so far, they apparently would not have. But a red flag law where if you're threatening to kill people, like the one shooter had a hit list and a rape list, I mean, that is serious stuff. And that's something.
Oh, now that's serious. But, you know, because that was the leftist Antifa ISIS MS-13 killer.
Needs to be watched. On the other hand, you don't want to get to a point where we are like the Tom Cruise movie Minority Report, where people get arrested before they can do anything wrong, because then we start locking up. I mean, that's a Orwellian as it gets, locking people up before they do anything wrong.
Right.
But there.
Well, so he makes policy based on bad Tom Hanks movies. Minority Report. Well, okay, it wasn't terrible. Tom Hanks movies.
There are flags that have to be observed, and we should be doing something about those.
Quickly, about gaming, first of all, does the national government need to be involved in that? And also, every shooting, why does it now have to be politicized? This weekend, I was sickened when some folks were saying, well, this guy's Republican. Oh, no. This guy's been Ohio. This guy's a Democrat. This is insane that we're starting to politicize shooters. These people are ill and need help. They're not Democrats.
Yeah, they're ill. This guy, by the way, he looks like what would happen. This member of the local for-profit media down there somewhere in Texas, he looks like what would happen if the guy from the movie Eraserhead, if we're going to talk about movies, if he got old and put on a few pounds. This guy.
They're not Republicans. These are mentally ill people. Anybody who would
mentally ill people that Louis Gohmert would not cross the street to help, would never cast a yay vote to help. It's not like Louis was out there supporting the passage of the Affordable Care Act. Oh, hell no. Louis is perfectly content to have Texas be the one state with more uninsured people, and therefore, as a result of that, statistically more uninsured mentally ill people in the United States of America. And never, not once, has Louis Asparagus Gohmert ever lifted a finger to help them. Just want to be clear on that. And we're still waiting for the full-on crazy.
Do that. One man killed his sister.
Well, yeah, and, exactly. But as I found as a judge, there are people that are mentally ill, but some are what we used to call sociopaths or antisocial personality is what they're called now. There are some people that are almost impossible to rehabilitate. And it bothered me when we passed a hate crime law federally, and then I'm hearing all these people say, yeah, we need to punish people more for hate crime. Look, the poster case they made for the hate crime federally was the case down in Jasper. Well, they were tried under Texas law. The two most couple got the death penalty. There is no death penalty under federal law. So all of
Louie? I guess you missed the memo from Bill Barr to prosecution last week. He's the federal government's going to start horizontally crucifying people again, according to Bill Barr. So, well, you can't expect Louis to know everything. Realistically, you can't expect Louis to know anything. But, right, he doesn't like hate crimes laws. Because then you're punishing people for their thought and thinkings. You got the hockey puck in good and snug now, do you? Good?
They're screaming, yeah, we need to punish them for hate crimes. You know, that's just going to be something used to lock up preachers someday. But we should punish people for what they actually do.
I told you. You can't prosecute a guy who murdered 22 people in El Paso, Texas, at a Walmart for a hate crime, or as a domestic terrorist, because that's just a way to lock up preachers. Okay, I'll bite. So we've had Supreme Court cases from people who said that they can't make a fucking cupcake for a wedding between two gay people because that would mean that they were violating their morals and their deeply held religious beliefs by participating in that their gay wedding. So does that mean when the Christian gun store owner sold the AR-15 or what the fuck ever to the kid, the young white male who shot up Dayton, or the young white male who shot up El Paso, did that mean that the Christian gun store owner was participating in that massacre? Under the reasoning of the white wing, it does. Because let's remember, the right of two people of the same gender to marry, per the Obergefell decision, is a constitutional right. Just like a woman's right to choose is a constitutional right. Me? I think we should maybe lock up the gun store owner who sold the guns and allow the gun manufacturers to be sued into bankruptcy. Ding. Yeah, you're right, Darlene. Darlene in Connecticut says, this is why Robert Mueller refused to engage with Gohmert at the hearing and came as close as you'll ever hear to him saying, fuck you, with his, I take your question, in response to the insane shit and accusations Gohmert was leveling at him. Like us, Mueller also knows Louis Gohmert is crazier than a sprayed roach. Yes, indeed. At a decon party with free plastic bags. Did I not say Tom Cruise? Larry says, Minority Report starred Tom Cruise. I thought I said that. Maybe I said somebody else. I can't believe Louis Gohmert is considered judge material in Texas. Have they no standards? No, none. None, Larry. Zip, zilch, nada, niente, nil. Stephen, New York. The new Ten Commandments. I am the one. I am the Lord, my name is Mammon. Mammon, thou shalt maximize my value through compound interest and reinvestment of all dividends. 2, thou shalt have as my image the almighty dollar sign and such other variation that makes it clear that such alteration is still recognizable as the almighty dollar. 3, thou shalt ever be vain about the almighty dollar sign. 4, there shall be no Sabbath other than a bank holiday, which shall be solely to count the money. 5, honor thy father and thy mother, unless they prevent thee from the worship of mammon or accumulation of the almighty dollar. 6, thou shalt not murder, unless in not doing so prevents you from the accumulation of the almighty dollar. 7, adultery is permitted, particularly if you are a homophobic man and end up in another man's mouth. 8, thou shalt steal, especially when it is from someone poorer than you or an immigrant. 9, thou shalt lie in the furtherance of the acquisition of the almighty dollar. 10, thou shalt covet because it motivates you to acquire more of the almighty dollar. C, greed is good. Yeah. Well, that's just how the goddess of irony works, Brother Deacon Asa. And he says, son of a bitch, I was watching Minority Report on Sunday night. I know. So we got about 12 minutes to go, 11 minutes and change to go in the program. Because, remember, I'm knocking off early because I've got, I'll be sitting in for Malloy at 9. Come on over. Hope you will. Listen at Progressive Voices on TuneIn. And we have $380 to go on this evening's fundraising goal to catch up with the evening itself. It's going to be a hateful, brutal month. It just is. In the next 5 years will probably be hateful, brutal months. But anyway, if you'd like to jump in and help, it'd be mightily appreciated. Let's run over in these waning moments of the program and check in with Scott in San Diego. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Bubba. How are you? Happy Tuesday, which feels like Monday.
Yes.
All right, man. I held my tongue for as long as I could. All right. But you had to do it, Bob. You had to put Louie on there.
How do you not?
But the thing is, I'm listening along. I'm following along. Listening to every talking point he's saying to his cohorts in the local Texas media. But then he got to the part talking about red flag warnings or something about you, and I'm paraphrasing here, you can't expect these people who have this in their heart to commit these heinous acts. You can't expect these people to go around telling people what they're going to be doing. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, where has that tactic worked for many, many moons? Oh, I know, the GOP. They're famous. They're fucking world famous for either saying one thing and doing the exact opposite, or not saying anything and doing whatever the fuck they want. You know? And we're seeing it play out in real time, Bob. When confronted with the reality that we're all looking at, the GOP can be depended upon, come, you know, rain or shine, to do the absolute minimum thing that should be done, and also the least effective thing that should be done to address the issue at hand. You look throughout history, and that's what they have always done. And you know what I want to see?
Tell.
I want to see. I'm after the show is over, I'm going to Google around and see if I can find a Venn diagram generator, because I want to see the Venn diagram that includes these universes: church-going folks, gun-toting folks, Republican-voting folks, and there was a fourth.
A fucking circle.
Well, that's what I mean.
You don't need a Venn diagram generator for that. Just draw a damn circle.
Yeah, I grab my compass and my color.
I mean, just look down at the coffee ring stain from your mug of instant freeze dried coffee. There it is. That's the Venn diagram. It's just a circle.
Jesus, and I, what is this happy horseshit about? The problem here is mental illness and video games. There is no way that is anywhere near accurate. And I sent you a deal here.
Well, look, okay, let's just deconstruct that from a causation standpoint and have done with it, shall we?
All right, okay.
If video games were the cause of Dayton, Gilroy, El Paso, then long before now, there would have been a mass of dead Americans who died from having, you know, anvils dropped on them out of a clear blue sky.
Well, yeah, there's that.
Because I'm of a generation that grew up watching that happen every Saturday morning, and more often if they would just play them. I'm part of a generation that grew up being told that you could put your fingers in the side-by-side barrels of a shotgun and make the shotgun blow up in the shotgun owner's face.
Yeah.
It does not work that way.
You remember back in the 80s and 90s, the hoo-ha about all the violence in society was being caused by rock music, heavy metal music?
Well, yeah, this is all just Tipper Gore redux.
Well, if that were true, Bob, then we would expect to see more people walking down the street, minding their own business, breaking out in Broadway musical tunes. Because if you watch Broadway musicals and these films have an effect on your behavior in the real world, then you will emulate. Come on, Jesus. Jesus. Louis Gohmert better not come to my house, because we have squirrels out front here who love nuts, big, juicy, tender, chewable, delicious nuts. And if Louis walks by, the attack squirrels are
it'll be like piranhas.
Oh, God, yeah.
Only with nuts.
And there's no.
I think you put it very well earlier. Louis' cheese done slid off his cracker.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, it's like I'll believe the mental illness video games explanation, phony GOP explanation, after the number of people killed annually by lunatics bashing folks about the head with game consoles matches the number of people being slaughtered by gun violence. But until that...
Yeah, or anvils falling out of the sky.
Yeah. Less than a week after Gilroy, not one, but two mass shooting incidents in Ohio and Texas, and I sent you this earlier, apparently El Paso is otherwise one of the safest cities in the country. And that one incident managed to double their most recent or a recent annual death toll. What does that tell you about the state of things in this country?
I know.
And you got the orange sniffer in chief coming out with his big fucking teleprompter and his stupid talking points. And it's... I hope that we're filing this away in our little mental Rolodexes, and that the events of not only the past two weekends, but since 2015, that the cumulative events of Trump and his cohorts and enablers and apologists, that all of this will be worked together to inform our thinking and our action between now and November of 2020. This shit has got to stop. We've got to put an end to it. Like I keep saying, we've got to keep the House, add members to it from our side, retake the Senate, and kick that orange numbskull.
Well, you have just landed on the precise beginning. You know, it's the old Churchill thing. This is not the end of this is not the beginning of the end, but maybe it's the end of the beginning. The only way we get to that, step one, okay, the first step in a 12-step program is I realized I was powerless. I was an alcoholic and I was powerless over alcohol.
Yeah, essentially.
Okay, so step one in this case is we realized that Republicans are killing us and killing our country, and we cannot allow them to be involved in government anymore.
Yeah. It's really very simple. I mean, in terms of grasping the situation, Now, the implementation of a workable solution will require a little bit of sweat equity on the part of people, okay? But, hell, if you don't see it by now what the situation is, then go into a lens crafter or wherever and get yourself a free vision check, you know? It's, you know, the situation is obvious, you know, and it's, what is that? I have a button that says this somewhere. If you're not outraged, you're not paying attention.
Precisely. Precisely.
And I am outraged. I mean, I have been outraged for a long time, and maybe this will be the tipping point. I know that.
Sandy Hook was supposed to be that.
Well, but think about it. When was the last time? I mean, Las Vegas was a good example of what I mentioned earlier. When confronted with a situation, the GOP does the least effective and most minor, quote, remedy. They ban the bar.
They do as little as possible.
Exactly. And you're right. They did say it during Sandy Hook. They did say it through Las Vegas. But something did come out of that that helped a tiny bit, okay? I know it's farting against thunder, but on some level it's audible. Maybe this time, in the space of less than two weekends, you had X number of people killed and X number of people wounded. Maybe this will finally get us off our asses, and not into the streets necessarily, but engaged and involved with one another and with the process to send these people packing. And I don't mean packing as in packing heat. I mean packing as in get more Democrats into the House and hang on to that, kick as many Republicans out of the Senate and hopefully retake that, and for God's sake, nominate a candidate who can send this man on his way. And not only do it in 2020, but do it in the midterms of 2022, the presidential of 2024. We've got to do it for 20 years into the foreseeable future, if there is one, simply because things have not only become bad, but there's 30 years since Reagan or more.
Well, it's even longer than that, Scott. And we got to get out of here because I got to.
A
civilized nation has one of these and says, nope, got to fix this.
Yeah, Australia,
Port Arthur, the Christchurch, New Zealand massacres.
Yeah.
Was it, 1968 when dude went up the bell tower at the University of Texas at Austin?
No, 66, Charles Whitman.
Okay, so that's 53 years of doing abso-goddamn-lutely nothing.
Yeah.
You're getting it. You just got a note from Steve in New York. Oh, dear Scott. Tipping points are gone. Sandy Hook? At El Paso, Frothy Mixture said it was partially the fault of the Walmart shoppers because they weren't packing heat. If Sandy Hook didn't do it, it ain't going to change. The only reason there weren't 100 or more deaths in Dayton is because there were police on the scene. And even then, he still killed 9 and wounded how many dozens?
Yeah. But here's the deal for
because
Steve.
Because 6 good guys with a gun couldn't stop it.
So, in other words, what he's saying is tipping points are passé. They're not viable.
No, they're not passé. They're just gone.
But, okay, but then this is our future? Is this where we are? And
No, it's just that we can't talk about tipping points. The only tipping point we had left is if it is just to sort of loop this thing back.
It's the bottle of vodka.
No, the only tipping point we have left is to remove Republicans from governance, destroy the NRA, tear the building down, and salt the earth under it.
Well, and that's kind of what I've been saying.
You know, I'm getting kind of, Cato the Elder, NRA delenda est. You know, way back in the ancient days of Republican Rome, nobody invited Cato the Elder to parties anymore because every time somebody said, "Hey, Cato, how you doing?" "Hey, Carthago delenda est." You know, "Hey, Cato, it's a lovely toga you're wearing." "Carthago delenda est." Carthage must be destroyed. They got to where they wouldn't invite him to parties anymore.
Well, speaking of ancient times, and I'll leave you with this. According to Greek mythology, Chiron was a half-horse, half-human doctor. And sitting down for this?
Yes.
This, of course, made him the centaur for disease control. But, bum. I guess
that's it, Scott. You're out of here.
Goodbye forever, probably.
We'll talk to you later, Scott.
All right, take care.
Bye now. Centaur for disease control. Jesus Christ. Well, at least we got a giggle at the end. And by the way, yeah, I did. I said Tom Hanks, not Tom Cruise. My apologies. Tom Cruise, not Tom Hanks. Minority Report. My bad. Thank you to the all-volunteer horn research department for that. All right, so join me in about 55 minutes as we spark up the Malloy campfire this evening. Thanks for being here. And as I make my way through this Tuesday that feels an awful lot like Monday, thank you very kindly early in the evening to Otto DeShot for helping take down the fundraising goal. Tomorrow we will be at 580. So we'll get there in due time. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks earlier in the evening to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thanks, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all. Catch you in a little less than an hour. I mean, if you're listening live at all.